I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ay. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ay.
Rolling right along here on this Friday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. You've got Cap and Pete the Body across the way, AB, with your updates. If you can't play a talking number, to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio, and also Sirius 206, XM 206, Sirius XM app, channel 206, as well as another big story surfaced yesterday as training camps in the National Football League are right around the corner. Coming up in late July, they start to get going. We'll inch closer and closer to Labor Day weekend, then the start of the NFL regular season, as summer will blow by us, Taz, right before we know it.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And the news comes down yesterday that Jameis Winston, in all likelihood, is facing a suspension, reportedly as much as three games, the first three games, by the National Football League. Obviously, the personal conduct policy in the NFL, dating back to an incident that transpired in Scottsdale, Arizona, in March of 2016. The incident really did not become known until BuzzFeed reported it in November of 2017. And if you're unfamiliar with what exactly transpired, what allegedly transpired was that Winston was in an Uber cab when a woman who identified herself as Kate basically said that Winston reached over and grabbed her. And I'm not going to say where she exactly said he grabbed her while waiting at a drive-thru for Mexican food at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. So there was no video evidence of it. Now, the one thing is that the Uber driver that night they filed a report about what transpired. It was investigated by the National Football League. I think Lisa Friel was the one who investigated it for the NFL. Winston is going to get suspended for, in all likelihood, report. He has not been notified as of last night. Reportedly, he could get notified as early as today, Taz, that he's facing a suspension by the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, from a football perspective, I mean, you know, what he's accused of, that's, I guess we have to see everything that goes down here. But from a football perspective, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's bad. I mean, you know, this is going to be a big hit to them. Just speaking on the football end, that three games.
Right. The behavior is deplorable. There's nothing really to debate or have a conversation about that.
I agree with you. As long as there's truth to it. That's the only thing. He's accused of it. You said there's no video evidence, but if someone behaves like that, it's more than deplorable. Yeah, it's disgusting. Totally agree. Thing is, he did not inform the league, as you just said, and now you're facing this. It's a big public thing now. Who knows? Maybe he gets suspended more than three games.
Reportedly it could be three. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's four. I mean, from a Buccaneer perspective, to start the year, it's a disaster. Coming off, which was a disappointing season a year ago, Taz, where a lot of things were expected. The Buccaneers were expected to be a team that was going to take a massive step forward. Correct me if I'm wrong. They were, did they do Hard Knocks last year? Or was that two summers ago?
They did Hard Knocks. I think that was last summers ago. No, Rams. I think wasn't the Rams last summer.
Was it the Rams?
Or am I switching them up?
No, I think you're switching up. It was the Buccaneers.
The Bucks,
last
then
summer.
The Rams. The previous
right,
one.
Correct. Right.
How long has McVay been with the Rams? 2 years?
No, 1 year. Last year was his first year. 2 years
That's
ago
right,
was Fisher.
Jeff Fisher was right.
Right.
Your boy, Jeff Fisher.
Correct. Yeah, my guy, Jeff Fisher. Right. So, right, DeSean Jackson's first year with Tampa Bay last year, and they were expecting big things, right? And their season was an absolute disaster. Yeah. So now, in all likelihood, you wake up or you saw the report yesterday. And listen, if everything that transpired happened, I mean, he should. I mean, three games is getting off easy. I mean,
well, he might be Gonski.
Right. I mean,
know.
That is.
I mean, it's
awful behavior. And the fact that it took so long for that story to come out before BuzzFeed reported the story, March of 16 to November of 2017. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about the time and the length that was out there for. You're talking about well over, it's about 16 months.
I know.
And so
Who's the backup there? Fitzpatrick, right?
What's
who's
that?
Who's at the Buccaneers?
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick's the backup.
Is the backup quarterback. Right, and at times, Fitzpatrick is like the little girl with the curl. He can play very, very well.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see when it becomes official, when Winston is notified. He is getting suspended by the NFL. We're still not exactly clear. It could be reportedly three games, could be more. He could get notified today, and when that happens, certainly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the expectations for this season in 18, especially early on, have got to change a little bit.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad look. It's just bad for the organization, for the Bucs, I should say, and definitely bad for Winston. Yeah, and if you're a Buccaneer fan, you're like, dang, you got to be kidding me here. So now you got Fitzpatrick, who's got to be, what, 34, 35 years old, 36, somewhere in that realm.
Yeah.
So, he's not he's a veteran, obviously. He's not horrendous, but he's not Jameis Winston. So, it's messed up. It's crazy. And who knows? Like we were saying earlier, as far as what the accusations are, who knows what happened? If it is, you never know. I mean, when, you have star power there, you have a superstar, and he's got a little bit of a past, you never know. It's someone's word against someone else's word. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, if the Uber driver files a complaint, something transpired that shouldn't have transpired.
I would think something transpired. So, I would think something, yeah.
Right, so I mean, something went down. It's hard with the history of Jameis Winston to believe. Listen, everything's alleged. No criminal charges
Correct.
Were filed. But he's not getting suspended by the NFL with their history of handling suspensions if they don't believe something actually went down. From their vantage point,
correct me if I'm wrong,
something went down.
That's what we've been saying, though. The suspension is because he didn't tell them.
Well, personal conduct policy,
right.
Violation. They investigated
right.
the incident.
No, but I thought it was a situation where he didn't tell the league what happened. And that's part of the suspension, why he's getting suspended. AB, I think, said the same thing in his update. I'm pretty sure. I think that's what it is. Something in that world.
No, I don't believe that's the case.
Sure? Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe that it's a case of Winston not notifying the league. I think the league, from my understanding, the story that I read is that the NFL investigated the incident that transpired and decided to suspend him. Why would they?
I think you're supposed to report it, like if something. I think that's what it is. I mean, I don't know.
If he did nothing wrong, they're going to suspend him for three games for not telling the league that nothing happened.
No, Moose. I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't play in the league. I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you what I could have sworn heard AB say that in his update. I could have sworn I read that. I'm looking right now. Maybe I'm hearing things. That's all. We're trying to get it right. We're trying to get it right here. We're in the middle of getting it right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's all well and good. I mean, Ronald Darby was a passenger in the vehicle, corroborated Winston's account. So, I mean, they investigate. So we'll see exactly what the suspension is for Jameis Winston. So we'll see when that news does come down later on today.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a hit for the Bucs for sure. Either way, from a football perspective, it's definitely a bad situation for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their fan base.
All right, as we get into the NBA draft last night, as was expected, DeAndre Ayton goes number one overall to the Phoenix Suns. After that, Marvin Bagley. And you don't hear a lot of guys telling you that they want to go to the Sacramento Kings. And Bagley was ecstatic and looked forward to the challenge of going to Sacramento and being a member of the Kings. And then we got our first trade where Trae Young ends up with the Atlanta Falcons, where Luka Doncic and a first-round pick end up with the Dallas Mavericks, fourth overall. You look at it goes to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s father, played for the San Antonio Spurs, was a former NBA champion as well. For the Michigan State standout, he ends up going fourth overall to the Memphis Grizzlies. Kind of really
he
the
was
story
so proud, too. You saw him on TV.
Yeah, he was so happy.
So proud
I mean,
of his
so
son.
Happy. And he loved the way his son talked about his relationship with his father,
cool.
which was cool, too, saying that his dad has been with him and his parents have been with him every step of the way.
It's nice.
Understanding what it is to be a professional, how to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult, especially when, I mean, Taz, you grow up in the shadows of your dad as an NBA player, expectations as a son of what you are going to be, and you end up going fourth overall, and your dad is there. It's special. I mean, that's really what it's all about.
And I will tell you, like, for athletes that grow up in a household, what a pro athlete, in this case, this kid's going into the NBA, his dad was an NBA star, NBA champ. It's a different upbringing than other kids that don't have a pro athlete raising them. It's different. I could tell you. I know I raised my son a little different. Like, it's, you know, and a lot of times when kids are getting recruited, I know it's not the topic, but schools like that when they know that either mom or dad or both was either a college athlete or a pro athlete. Of course, there's different accountability expectations on the kid growing up in that household, the work ethic type thing, the physical end, you know?
Well, and you mentioned in terms of raising your son a little bit different in terms of what? In terms of how so?
I was being fed something. I apologize.
No, raising your son a little bit different, how so?
It's different because, okay, when you lived it, you lived it as an athlete, you put the work in, you put the sweat equity in, so sometimes you got to have that line of, got to let him go play with his friends, or it's a time to go for that hitting lesson. Is it time to go for that strength and agility training? Is it time to go for your pitching lesson? Is it time to go with the quarterback coach to work on his first step as he's releasing the ball? You got to play with your friends later. I just feel an athlete, a former athlete, a pro athlete, can tell, because I can tell you, as your kids get older, you'll see this, Moose. Kids are kids, and sometimes they're gonna want to be kids. They're gonna want to dog it,
right?
And you got to know when they're dogging it and when they're not,
right?
Most pro athletes go, you're not dogging it,
right?
You're gonna work.
Yeah.
You want this? You said you wanted it. You're gonna go work now,
right?
I think a lot of parents that maybe weren't pro athletes, not that I'm stereotyping, I don't mean to, so I apologize if I'm doing that. But I think that there's more of a chance of a parent saying, I'll let Johnny go play. Don't worry, he missed a couple of sessions with his quarterback coach. It's okay. I think the former pro athlete, you're not missing a lot of sessions. That's what I'm saying.
You
push the kid more.
I got you. You push him and want to make sure you don't push him too hard to
absolutely.
Where they then revolt.
You push them away. I've seen it happen with friends of my son.
For sure.
I've seen it happen. But I've also seen where you don't push the kid enough and the kid's got all this potential and the kid becomes lazy, and everybody passes him.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate, too.
Fine line, you know what I mean?
Right, and for Jackson last night, watching his son get, and his wife, watching, you know, mom and dad watching their son go fourth overall, for all the parents out there, for all the, you know, the friends, family, the loved ones that were a support system for these young athletes and seeing their dreams get realized, it was certainly a special night in Brooklyn, New York last night, whether you're a first-round pick or a second-round draft choice. The dropper was Michael Porter Jr., and you probably could have said that yesterday, Taz, going into the first round based on the back, the hip, the maybe some concerns about just how good of a teammate he is. Maybe he did not, as you heard more and more come out of it last night after he dropped to 14th overall Denver, is that maybe he didn't interview all that well with some of these NBA teams.
Yeah.
And once that starts to get around, it starts to gain more and more and more momentum. No one's doubting the talent. No one's doubting whether or not he can shoot. He's probably the best offensive player in the draft last night. But Porter Jr. is going to be either the hit a home run or swing and miss for the Denver Nuggets. I think it's a good pick for them at that stage, Taz, because you're going to gamble on talent. And he's a talented kid.
It's tough, he's very talented.
And you hope that he physically can be able to play.
At the highest level.
At the highest level.
It's hard.
Right.
It's hard. But I'll tell you, you talked about players meeting with the NBA teams beforehand, meeting, so general managers and coaches of the organizations can get a feel on these kids. And that's the key word, kids. Of course, there was a bunch of kids, young kids, 19 years old, 18 years old in this draft. And I have to say, just my professional opinion, most of them on television came off very mature, very focused, very dialed in. Trae Young, I mean, he's almost 20 years old. He, you know, he comes off a little bit, maybe it's just his voice tone. He comes off maybe not as good, just my opinion, as the other guys do. The other guys, I think, come off a little bit better than him, come off more mature than him. I mean, and I don't know Trae from a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wishing bad on a kid. But I got to say this. Like we said at the top of our program today, I thought ESPN did a great job covering this for sure. Maria Taylor does a great job. I'm a big fan of her work. I don't like, and I don't think it's her idea. I think the producer's in her ear and an IFB, an earpiece in her ear, which I know you know what that is. Some people don't, though, Moose. And telling her to ask these questions. I don't like when they say, when they have Maria say to these kids, "All right, for people that don't know you, hey, you know, hey, Bamba, for people that know you, hey, Wendell Carter, for people that don't know you, tell them what they're getting in you. Tell the audience." I don't like that. I just don't. I feel like now you're, and I believe an athlete should have an ego, should have some kind of confidence, but these are young kids. The greatest thing in the world just happened to them. And now you got them coming off like, "Well, I'm this. I'm a great player. I'm not." I just don't like
that. Yeah, that's a good cool. That's a good point.
Let these other guys say that.
Let these scouting guys. The experts in terms of the analysts tell you that. That's fair. That's fair.
You know, I just like to say.
I agree with you. Well, at that stage, as an NBA fan, as a draft fan, Taz, to me personally, I like to hear. You know, I like to hear about their family growing up, what it was, what this moment means to them. Because that's the only time you're going to be able to ask that question. You're not going to ask them, you're never going to ask them when training camp opens. Right. You're not going to be like, "Hey, what was it like to go fourth overall or fifth overall?" You're not going to do that.
It's human interest.
I want to hear, I want to find out a little bit more about the guy.
Yeah,
because you don't get a lot about that when they're in college because they're protected by the program and the coach.
Absolutely.
So now you start to learn a little bit about the individual.
Correct.
I thought it was interesting to hear about when Grayson Allen, he was asked the question. See, this is the stuff I like. He was asked the question, "What did Krzyzewski tell you during the draft process?"
Yeah.
And this is great stuff where you learn. He said, "I talked to him at least once a week, maybe twice." And he said, "When I was going for these personal workouts," he said, "be the player you are on the court."
Right.
"And be the person you are off the court."
Yeah.
"And just be yourself."
Yep.
"Don't try and be anything else other than yourself, and play the way that you played here at Duke, and everything will take care of itself." And
yeah,
I'm going
like
21 overall to Utah.
No doubt.
And that's great advice, but that's stuff you want to hear about.
I agree with you. And speaking of Grayson Allen, see, now that's a guy who he's almost 23 years old, right? He's older than these other guys. You know, he's going to the Jazz, as everybody knows. And the thing is, like, I don't mind if they ask him that question. "Tell us about who you are." Well, he's got a swag about him and a little, you know, he's kind of got that ego thing going on anyway. But I don't mind him asking a guy who's almost 23 to put yourself over. I don't mind that. A kid who's 18, 19, don't do that. A kid who just finished his freshman year, I don't like that. This kid graduated from Duke, right? I don't mind that.
He did. And I like I like a little bit of the backstory. I like to hear about
Human interest stuff.
I mean, because that's what you know about their game.
Right,
I mean, because if you've been following the draft process, you know who's a pick and pop guy, how's his handle, can he go left, can he go right. Do I need Michael Porter Jr. to tell me he's a great teammate when the guys on the desk are basically saying whether or not he's a good teammate?
Right. How cool is it, though? Hey, speaking of Grayson Allen, how cool is it when Maria Taylor was interviewing him, and then what's his name from the Jazz came over?
Donovan Mitchell.
And they talked about when he played in Louisville and he was at Duke, and they hugged it out, and they're going to be teammates now with
great.
The Jazz. The Jazz just got better.
Yeah.
I like Grayson Allen. I think a guy can shoot his butt off.
Yeah, it's not all that surprising. A Utah Jazz team coached by a former Duke Blue Devil, right, drafts a Duke Blue Devil in the first round. And Grayson Allen's going to be one of those guys that, if it works in the NBA, he's going to be a pain in the rear end because he's going to get under a lot of people's skin. We're going to talk to Jeff Goodman. He's going to join us coming up straight ahead. Basketball insider for the stadium. We'll join Taz and myself. We'll get all his thoughts on the two rounds of the NBA draft.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
AB is in the house. Good morning, Andrew.
Guys, good morning one more time. So some years there is drama surrounding the number one pick. Not this year. The Suns were locked on DeAndre Ayton long before last night in Brooklyn. No surprise either at number two with the Kings taking Duke forward Marvin Bagley III. The Hawks selected Luka Doncic, only to trade him to Dallas for Trae Young. Mavs head coach Rick Carlisle says they had to be aggressive to get the guy they wanted.
At one point, we thought there might be a slight chance he could fall to us, but then, you know, a couple of days ago, it was pretty clear that there was no way that that was going to happen. He was just too good, and so we made this deal. We moved up. Atlanta got a great player in Trae Young. We get a guy that we think is a franchise foundation piece.
There were eight trades in all last night. The Hornets send Kentucky guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to the Clippers for Michigan State's Miles Bridges. The Spurs getting some love for taking Miami guard Lonnie Walker IV at number 18. The Jazz used number 21 on Grayson Allen. And the Sixers went with Wichita State guard Landry Shamet at 26. Spurs GM R.C. Buford said last night he hopes he doesn't have to trade Kawhi Leonard. And a week before LeBron has to officially opt out of his current contract, Cavs GM Kobe Altman said last night he's had good dialogue with LeBron's camp. Day 9 of the World Cup is underway in St. Petersburg. Brazil and Costa Rica are scoreless in the 26th minute.
You sounded confident there.
I couldn't do the math for a second.
Yeah.
Then we get our second look at Iceland against Nigeria at 10 Central. Serbia, Switzerland, 11 a.m. Pacific. 8 scoreless innings with 8 Ks and a sack fly to open the scoring for Madison Bumgarner last night. His Giants beat the Padres 3-0. The Brewers beat the Cardinals 11-3. Mike Matheny's team committed 4 errors in that loss.
Wasn't one of those games that we like to put our name to.
The Cubs losing in Cincinnati 6-2, so Milwaukee's alone atop the AL Central this morning. The Nats got by the O's 4-2. The Angels outscored the Jays 8-5. Guys?
There you go. Appreciate it, AB. Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Jeff Goodman, basketball insider for the stadium. Hey, Jeff. Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Jeff?
No problem. What's up, guys?
Jeff, let's start here. Last night, certainly, put it this way. When you look at this draft class in 2018, impactful players on the NBA level, how deep do you think it goes?
Oh, I think it's going to go deep. I do. I mean, this was considered a really good draft the last couple of years, and then when Marvin Bagley reclassified and decided to go to Duke a year earlier than expected, it gave it just another jolt at the top. But, you know, Ayton, Bagley's going to be a really good NBA player. Luka Doncic was going to be really good. I mean, you know, you got a bunch of guys, especially big men, that I think will impact. It's going to be interesting to see the point guards. They're the ones that, to me, are a little bit questionable. Is Trae Young going to be a high-level point guard in the NBA? Will he be a point guard for a non-playoff team? And the same thing could be said for Colin Sexton and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Are those guys, you know, top 10 point guards in the league, or are they just average, mediocre point guards?
Jeff, so who are the winners here? What teams in the NBA? Who do you think that did the best? Would you say it was, you know, was it the Suns? Was it the Hawks? You know, like who was Mavericks? Who, in your opinion, who kicked butt in this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think Phoenix couldn't go wrong. Obviously, my 14-year-old daughter should have picked DeAndre Ayton at number one.
Right.
So that's an easy one. But I think they did well beyond that, trading up from 16 to 11 and giving up a first-round pick, but getting Mikal Bridges, who can guard, and they were terrible defensively, and also make shots and space the court. So now you got, you know, Ayton, Bridges, Josh Jackson, and Devin Booker as your 4 cornerstone guys. And I think you can certainly get to where you're maybe a playoff team in a year or two. Atlanta's interesting, guys. I just don't know how good Trae Young's going to be,
right,
especially early on in his career. In Atlanta, they added a lot of shooting. I mean, that's the one thing you can look at and say, like, they got Trae Young and paid for him, you know, in terms of picking him high. And they got Kevin Huerter, 19. He's a hell of a shooter as a 2-guard. And then they also got Amari Spellman at 30. So I like what the Hawks did there, but it all hinges on Trae Young. I mean, that's the guy.
And right.
How good is he going to be at the end of the day? Who else did I like? I like Chicago. I think the Bulls adding Wendell Carter at 7 is a good pick. He'll play alongside Lowry Markkanen, and they have Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. So, and Carter's a guy who can come right in and make an impact physically. His IQ for the game, he does a little bit of everything. And the biggest story of the draft, guys, was Michael Porter Jr. falling to 14 to Denver. Yeah. I mean, this is a kid that I thought would go number two in the draft before the season, and if his back checked out. But obviously, there are too many teams who had their medical team tell them, hey, listen, you know what? I would stay away from him just because of the back injury. He was only 18 years old when he suffered it, and who knows how long he's got in this league.
You know, Jeff, they hint upon on the broadcast last night, you would know this better than anybody. What about if he's – I know there's questions about Porter Jr. medically. What about as a teammate?
Well, I put that out there probably earlier than just about anybody. And I had heard it from in the preseason when he was healthy. And I've known Michael Porter for 3 or 4 years, and I really liked him as a kid. So when I got these questions from NBA guys, I was shocked. First one came in, and I'm like, no, that's not Michael Porter. I've spent a lot of time with this kid. He's engaging. He smiles. He shakes your hand. He looks you in the eye. All that. But then you get another call and another call saying, like, what's wrong with this kid? You know, like, he doesn't really, you know, connect with his teammates, and he looks arrogant. He carries himself that way. And you got a bunch of them. And even in the interview process over the last month or so, you'd hear him that he looked kind of disinterested. That's what people were saying who were in the room. So I think, again, it's one of those things to me where I think it played into it, but ultimately it was the medicals guys why he slipped to 14.
Right, the back. Yeah, so what about, Jeff, what about, like, surprises? Like, what shocked you, surprised you? I mean, you know, me personally, and Moose and I would talk a little bit earlier about it for sure, was the whole Suns and 76ers trade with Bridges and stuff and Smith. What kind of caught you off guard, if anything? Maybe nothing.
I think.
Maybe it was nothing.
That's no, what. New York. I think the Knicks taking Kevin Knox at nine was a little bit surprising. I like Knox, but nine was a little bit high for me. You know, he's kind of a face-up four. And then they took a kid in the second round, early in the second round, named Mitchell Robinson, who's a complete wild card. He's talented, seven-footer. But he was a kid who was supposed to attend Western Kentucky, showed up on campus. Then he left. Then he showed up again. Then he left again. Then he went with one agent. Then he went with another agent. Good. Like, I don't think he's a bad kid. I think he's just super naive and had the wrong people around him. And now you're going to put him in New York City?
Yeah. Oof.
That's right, probably the worst place for him.
No, that's fair. But I mean, he is a talented kid, correct? I mean,
Oh yeah.
I mean, because I saw, you would know this better than anybody. A lot of people looked at him as being if everything was cross the T's dot the I's, he did have first round ability, right,
definitely.
Jeff? Definitely. Okay.
Definitely. But to me, I would have liked to have seen him in like some remote place where he's not going to have a lot of. A lot of potential distractions. How's that?
Fair.
That makes sense.
Jeff, how about a lot of people? Do you connect the dots with what the Lakers did with what they're going to try and do in free agency here? Because, you know, they drafted shooters. I mean, that's what Los Angeles did last night with the Lakers. They drafted the Kansas guard who reportedly, you know, lit it up in a personal workout. What about what the Los Angeles Lakers did last night?
Yeah, Mo Wagner and Svi Mykhailiuk, two really, really good shooters. So, listen, that's the way the game's going, too.
That's true.
But if you've got Lonzo Ball, whether you're going to make a move and get LeBron, or you're going to have Lonzo Ball as your kind of cornerstone point guard distributor, like I said it all year, Lonzo has to have shooters around him. Has to. And he didn't have enough this year, so you're adding more guys who can make shots, and that kid can pick teams apart in terms of passing the basketball. And if you put four guys who can make shots around Lonzo Ball, he's going to be special. He is. I mean, like, he's special at what he does, which is make people better and get them the ball.
Hey, Jeff, what about the Bucks, man? Now they had DiVincenzo, who I personally love, the kid out of Villanova. What do you think of this here and him with the Greek freak? How do you think this is going to work out?
Yeah, I like Dante. I didn't think he'd go 17. Mm. And I remember after the national championship game, I texted like 10 NBA guys right after he lit it up there.
Yeah, he did.
I said, where do you think he goes? Almost every one of them said early second round at that point, if he leaves. And I'm like, really? I can't imagine he doesn't go in the back half of the first round because he's got size, he's athletic, he's tough. You know, there's some things he needs to work on, decision-making. But 17 was higher than I thought, but I really like it for Milwaukee. I think, you know, he's a guy who came off the bench this year, never complained, you know, has been part of winning at Villanova. And I think Milwaukee needs somebody to help out Giannis desperately.
You know, Jeff, what is Mo Bamba? At his high end, at his peak, what is Mo Bamba at his low end in the NBA?
You know, his high end, he's probably, to me, like, I think he's like a, you know, he can give you more than Rudy Gobert, you know, offensively. He can give you more than that. I'm trying to think of who he is as a good comparison. You know, somebody compared him like Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid. That's ridiculous. He's never going to be that offensively. But he can be a defensive game changer and a developing offensive player who won't hurt you on that end. I don't think he's going to be special on the offensive end. I don't think he's ever going to average 17, 18 points a game. But I think he can average, you know, 12 or 13 points, 8 rebounds, and be a guy who blocks 3 shots a game and contests way more than that.
It's late in the game. I did like late in the first round what the Warriors did. Jacob Evans is a, you know, wing player. You know, coming out of that Cincinnati program, can you know he's going to be a willing defender as well, Jeff.
Yeah, he's talented. The knock on Jacob Evans has never been his talent. He looks the part too. You know, he's got the good size. He's athletic. He can make shots.
Well, I love the hair.
The hair is awesome. The hair is awesome. I just question, you know, he wasn't always consistent. He didn't really live up to probably his potential at Cincy, but it's a good pick for them. I mean, again, you know, teams like Boston, like what Boston got with Robert Williams falling to 27 was you know, kind of ridiculous. That was probably the biggest surprise in the draft, and they don't even need him. But if he does learn to play hard all the time and avoid some of those off-the-court issues that plagued him this past year, he could be a really good piece for them.
Hey, Jeff, what about Luka? You think he can make a quick impact, immediate impact with the Mavs?
He's got to, and he can because he's a high IQ guy. You watch him, and I haven't seen him live, but I've seen him plenty on tape, and, you know, he just knows how to play. So he plays like he's a 30-year-old, so he'll be able to get in there right away, and he's got swagger, guys. He's not going to be afraid. He's not going to be intimidated by the NBA game. So I think he'll be a – I mean, listen, they gave up a good amount to get him. So I think they have faith. They're going to throw him to the wolves and see what he can do.
Now, Jeff, final one for me. Do you think Colin Sexton, his plea to LeBron after getting drafted by Cleveland, will do anything? Come on back. We'll go back to the NBA Finals.
No, zero. Absolutely.
Listen,
he can plead all he wants. It doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
But I will say this. Colin Sexton with LeBron, it's exactly what LeBron needs, another guy who can make a play off the bounce. And Sexton, while he's tough, for me, because he doesn't make good decisions with the ball in his hands, he'd be great with LeBron because you put him off the ball and just say, hey, attack.
True. You're right about that. It was interesting. Now, Ayton going to live up to what everyone expects him to be, Jeff?
I think so. I mean, again, he's a freak, and he learned how to play hard this past year at Arizona, which wasn't the case leading up to that. So I think he'll be, you know, again, will he be – you know, David Robinson, will he be one of the best 50 players ever to play in the NBA? I'm not sure, but I think he'll be one of the best big men in the NBA.
Jeff Goodman covers college hoops for Stadium. Check him out. Does a fantastic job. Hey, Jeff, we certainly appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
you got it.
Guys. Take care.
You got it. Covering the NBA draft, college hoops all over the place.
And yeah.
Did a good job.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Bob down in Tampa. Can the Bucks overcome the potential Jameis Winston suspension this year? I mean, they can. Fitz is going to have to play well. Fitzpatrick early on in the season. Defense should be better with Jason Pierre-Paul. run it, take care of the football, probably win some tightly contested game. It's not like Winston's coming off a year in which he played particularly well, Taz.
No.
Struggled last year. But, yeah, can they overcome it?
Yes.
Depending on if it's what's being reported now, a three-game suspension, they can.
I think they definitely can. Yeah, they got a good enough squad that they definitely can. I mean, but it's definitely going to be hit early in the year, as most football fans know. You want to get some momentum going from jump. So the first three games, and maybe it's more. Who knows? Maybe it's less. It's probably not going to be less. But, you know, you want to get rolling. So without your starting QB, in the case of the Bucs, it's going to be tough.
Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So we talked about Winston kicking off this hour, and then went back and forth, had a little bit of a confusion in terms of the suspension, where it came about. So Taz and I were both right. You know, one way, shape, or form.
Quasi,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So
you were more right than me.
Well, but initially it was reported by a gentleman by ESPN Radio coming down out of Tampa that that Winston will get suspended over failure to report, and not the fact that he did anything wrong. Right, that there was any kind of anything now. I didn't realize this up until right now. Clubs and players are obligated to promptly report any matter that comes to their attention through, for example, victim or witness reports, law enforcement media reports that may constitute a violation of this policy, personal conduct policy we're talking about now. The obligation to report is broader than simply reporting an arrest. It requires reporting to the league any incident comes to the club's or player's attention, which, if the allegations were true, would constitute a violation of the personal conduct policy. So, I mean, so that is where that initially started. Now, Rick Stroud, who does a great job covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times, came out with a tweet last night and a story saying Winston will be suspended for violating the NFL's player conduct policy and not for failure to report the incident. So, there's where we stand right now.
Yeah,
so,
really, I mean, yeah, that's
the
it.
Investigation. There's still no suspension. Reportedly, it's going to be three games. Winston is yet to be notified. There is conflicting reports of whether or not he will appeal the suspension or not.
Yeah.
Conflicting reports of what exactly is triggering the suspension. So there's a lot of confusion other way around. But initially the report was that it was a failure to report, but that's not exactly the case.
Correct. And there's reports now everywhere, because I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick's name is trending as we do the show live. And let's listen to the podcast version. I apologize. But Fitzpatrick's name is trending because a lot of reports, like you and I mentioned in the last segment, he is set to be the starter for the first 3 weeks of the new season coming up for the NFL for the Buccaneers as a projected starter. And the backup to him would be, I guess, Ryan Griffin. So that's kind of where they are. So he, I guess
Fitzpatrick's going to get an opportunity to play.
Yeah, I'm just reading here real quick. Rich Eisen, I don't usually put anybody over, but Rich Eisen. He says, barring a successful appeal by Jameis, Ryan Fitzpatrick is set to make an NFL record 1 million career start as the second string QB. So, quarterback. So, there you go. That's pretty crazy.
Eisen, let's get to some leftovers.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike, go ahead. Oh, wait. Mike's not here.
Mike's out.
Sorry, Mike.
Taking attendance.
Yes, I'm here.
Pete's here. Pete the bunny.
I thought it was Moami for a minute. I got confused.
Go ahead. He's on a beach somewhere.
With Mike.
Enjoying his
winnings. He might be with Mike.
That's
right. It's Moami with Mike.
And Leon.
Well, let's not forget that. Leon, the cat.
Moami's wearing his Kevin Durant jersey.
And a parka.
The winnings.
For some reason.
Right.
In Croatia. On
right.
A beach.
Whatever. Yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, we just mentioned Jameis Winston's suspension. Let's talk about another friend of ours, Johnny Manziel. June Jones in the CFL has stated that Johnny Manziel should be playing in the NFL now. Is there a spot on a roster right now for Johnny Manziel in the NFL?
Yeah, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. I thought the CFL contract is a two-year contract. Now, I thought that was the deal, is a two-year commitment. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe there's an out to it. I guess everything's individualized. But I thought it was a two-year contract that Manziel signed. June Jones loves him, Taz. We talked about before when before he signed, they had the rights. He basically said he's going to be the best player, best quarterback in the league, could be the MVP of the league. So that's not all that surprising.
That's not surprising. No, he's a big fan of Manziel. By the way, June Jones, what a great name. June Jones, just a tremendous name. He was a good coach. But, yeah, I think that I don't think there's a spot right now in the NFL for Johnny Manziel. He went down this road during the offseason, and it didn't work out for him. I mean, but it just didn't. It's just
well, and Manziel, he has no one to blame but himself.
Right.
If he handled himself properly, he'd probably be in the NFL
probably
still.
Probably would be. He's a talented kid. Next!
Ooh!
Oh!
You mentioned earlier Barry Trotz to the Islanders. It's a five-year deal for about $20 million, reportedly.
Wow.
Will the Islanders win their fifth Stanley Cup with Barry Trotz in those 5 years?
I don't think they're
going to
win the Stanley Cup.
Not if Tavares leaves.
Well, Tavares leaves, forget about it. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup right away. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Well, in the next 5 years.
Oh, next 5 years? I didn't pay attention.
5 years, $20 million. He wanted $5 million per. He didn't get that. $4 million per. For Barry Trotz, more than the $1.8 million he made last year for the Washington Capitals.
You know what, Moose? You know me.
They win a Stanley Cup?
Yep. Within the next 5 years, I say they do. Pete the Body posed the question, and I answer the question. I'm not afraid. I don't live on the fence like other people.
I'd probably say no.
Okay.
I'd say yes. There we go.
I think within the next 5 years, the fifth year. In the next 6 years, I think they'll win it. In the sixth year, that's when it's going to happen.
There you go. All right. There, Barry Trotz, Stanley Cup champion.
Trotz.
Again, Trotz.
Next.
That's just the last one for me. What do you got?
What'd you say?
Go ahead.
No, you got it. You go first.
Go ahead.
What? You said what?
What's on the plans for this weekend for Taz and the Moose?
This is... hold on a second. Weekend. Wait a second. No, Moose. Don't fall into this trap.
What?
He's trying to make small talk. See, this is not part of leftovers. This hurts the
bit. Well, because we
all was, weekend plans.
We
have,
hit upon everything.
No,
we did
sir.
We were very efficient.
It's a very packed show. Not the music ended, because it has to be. Robotic Jones. That's what this is here. So why is it that this guy here, this board operator, this Pete Bellotti kid...
The body.
Why does he
cares.
Throw in leftovers all weekend plans? That's not leftovers.
He cares. He just wants to know what you're doing this weekend.
None of your damn business, Pete. That's what I'm doing.
That's nice. What are you going to do this weekend?
I'll probably sit in the yard, pound some vodka, and smoke cigars.
That's
what I do.
No, in all likelihood.
Sit by the pool.
What are we doing this week? Sit by the pool, have a cigar, relax a little bit, veg out.
Yeah, yell at a neighbor.
Head on.
My neighbors are 5 miles away. I got to use a blue one.
Check that all the podcasts are updated properly.
Speaking of podcasts, funny you said that word. Dropped a new podcast today.
Taz Show.
Yeah, the Taz Show on Apple Podcasts.
Hop on iTunes.
The lovely Katrina from Lucha Underground.
Make sure I tweeted.
Yes. Carly Perez, the lovely Carly Perez, was my guest. I had a guest.
Nice.
Taz Show is vivacious young lady.
Absolutely. It's a must listen to every single week. Yes. So I'll tweet this weekend just for you.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited, Moose.
I got the kids. We got baseball tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Baseball tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Yes.
It only gets harder as they get older, my friend.
I understand. Today's Jackson's last day of pre-K. They're in the car right now listening.
Oh, really?
Yes, my 5-year-old son.
The little
Jackson,
Mooses.
Love you very much. Enjoy your last day.
Uncle Taz loves you. He's done with school. He's
done with pre-K.
Just
next year's kindergarten.
You don't need that.
Next step.
I didn't go to kindergarten. Look at me. Doing great. I blew that
off.
I skipped. I held back.
We're doing a show together.
Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.